This is Marketplace Weekend. I'm Lizzie O'Leary.
Staying with the idea of retirement, what do you imagine yours will be like? Playing with grandchildren? Gardening? Volunteer work? Golf? I don't know. I'm not really a golfer. Or maybe retirement feels unattainable. We asked how you're feeling about saving for retirement. Here are some listener comments read by the Marketplace Weekend staff. First, Sarah Robbins.
Right now, we invest in my husband's 401k, about 11% of our income, and invest another percent or two to a spousal IRA for me. Our plan for the near future is to max out contributions to an HSA account because I've been reading how they are tax advantaged.
And here's what Lynn Miller had to add.
My husband's retiring on Halloween. Around 5 years ago, we bought a small farm approximately 5 miles from our current residence. This has long been a dream of ours. We've been putting money into retirement accounts since we were in our 30s. And when the cottage is complete, we plan to sell our current home and we'll be debt-free. Between our savings, Social Security, and our pensions, we should be financially comfortable in retirement. If the economy tanks, this might change.
On Facebook, Paul Grew said, I tell my students, on average, $750,000 in 2017 dollars at age 65 should allow maintained lifestyle. Save 15% from graduation on. And Nix Calder simply says, saving for retirement is a luxury I cannot afford. Nix isn't alone. About a third of Americans have no retirement savings. None. For a look at retirement saving, we spoke with an expert, Bob Reynolds, CEO of Putnam Investments and Great West Financial. What is so pressing that you decided to write this book now? After all, you have a pretty busy day job.
I do have a very busy day job, but for the last 30 plus years, I've been involved in the retirement industry in the United States. And we have a system now that is called workplace savings that, coupled with Social Security, is America's retirement system. And there's been a lot written about workplace savings, and the system itself works, but people need to take advantage of what is available to them, and that's what the book's about. The system itself touches on Social Security because it's so important to millions of people, but really gets into the workplace savings and how it can work for all Americans covered by the program.
Yeah, one of the points you make in this book is that workplace savings do not reach the number or percent of Americans that it could, they could. How many of us right now actually are making use of some sort of workplace savings account?
Well, it covers about 60% of working Americans. And of that total, about 80% participate in a plan. And the goal of there was an act passed in 2006, the Pension Protection Act, which made automatic enrollment, automatic escalation, and provided for target date funds, which are a package device, which really changed the system. When they added automatic enrollment, plans that utilize that feature go from 70% participation up to over 90%. So those features are very, very important into the success of the system.
So that means if you join a company and it offers, you know, a 401k, a 403b, something like that, that you just get automatically enrolled. You don't even have to think about it.
Right. You're automatically enrolled, but you can always opt out. And so many companies that do offer it, we'll do it for new employees, but once you make that decision, it's forgotten. To make it work, you have to offer it to all employees every year, especially to the ones that aren't participating.
One of the things that you do in this book is make the argument for what's called a defined contribution plan. That's something where you put money in, like a 401k, and not a defined benefit plan, the more traditional pension plan that my grandfather had working for General
Right.
Motors. Obviously, you do represent this industry, the 401k industry, but why do you think, in your opinion, that these are better than, you know, a guaranteed pension that's going to pay out for the rest of your life?
Well, I worked in the pension industry when I first got into the business. And interesting point that the pension system, defined benefit, only covered 30% of working Americans. And it was a very efficient way to provide for retirement if people stayed on the job 25, 30, 35 years. But America changed. The average American has 12 jobs during their work career, and defined benefit does not work in that environment. So hence, back in the early 80s, people start utilizing the 401k feature where each individual could have their own account. And it grew through the years. And again, starting in early 2000, clearly with the Pension Protection Act of 2006, it accelerated it to make it America's retirement system.
You know, something I'm curious about, and you've worked in this industry for so long, how do you get people to care about their retirement when they're, you know, 28, 29, 30, and it just seems so fuzzy and far off?
Well, what you have is you have, through defined contribution especially, you have the availability to see that money grow before you, the power of compounding. And with the plan sponsor's involvement, there's a recent study done that when the plan sponsor's involved, more people participate, people contribute more. And the whole goal of these plans are obviously participation, but to get people start contributing, but try to get to the 10% plus level. And again, another study that was done, if people do participate, save it to 10% plus level, have a target date fund, they will have more than 100% income replacement at retirement. So the system does work if you take advantage of all these features.
Who is not listening to you then? Is it individuals who aren't listening to this idea that the system works, or is it companies that should be doing a better job of encouraging their employees to invest?
Obviously, one of the challenges that, again, we get into in the book is, I mentioned 60% are covered by workplace savings.
Yeah.
How do we provide this same type coverage for the 40% that do not have it available to them? There was this Employee Benefit Research Institute study that looked to middle to lower income workers. And if they had workplace savings available to them, 75 to 80% were participating. That exact same demographic group, middle to lower income, if they did not have workplace savings, less than 5% are saving for retirement. So there was tremendous advantage to have it available. So part of what we're working on and really pushing Washington on is a feature that allows people that do not have available to them to participate in the same type system today.
You have a chapter in here about tax reform. Obviously, that is a very hot topic right now. And one of the questions that has been on the table a little bit is whether 401ks should be taxed differently. Right now, you know, you're not taxed when you put money in. The money gets taxed when it's withdrawn. Why do you think it's so important to have that kind of protection for a 401k?
Well, the system currently, there are two options today. You can contribute pre-tax. The money grows tax-free, but when you take the money out, it's taxed at an ordinary income rate. The other form is what is called a Roth, and that's where you contribute after tax. The money grows tax-free, and you take it out tax-free. So clearly, pre-tax contributions to retirement encourage people to participate and encourage them to contribute, because the fact is the government's paying part of your contribution because you're getting a tax benefit. It's really called a tax deferral. And the debate in Washington today is they have that system. There are accounting rules that only look at a 10-year window. So if you're 54 contributing, they think all that pre-tax money that you're contributing is lost to Treasury forever. That's not true, but that's the way they account for it. So the discussion going on is, should there be Roth, in other words, contribute after tax, and how much of it should there be as part of an individual's contribution every year. And again, I strongly think it would be detrimental to go full Roth because it will hurt people from contributing, especially lower income, younger people who look forward to that tax, pre-tax, as part of supporting their contribution.
You know, if someone is listening to this and they are overwhelmed by the jargon, they don't know what a target fund is, they don't know what a defined contribution is, what's the best argument you can make for finding some sort of retirement vehicle and putting your money in it?
Well, the whole point of target date, and that is a term that I agree is an industry word, but it was made to simplify advice, as package advice. So all you have to know is your age and what year you expect to retire. And then the manager sets up the appropriate asset allocation for you. So if you go in at 30, it's very heavily skewed toward equities. And as you get older and approach retirement, the balance changes from more equities to more fixed income, and it's age appropriate for you all the way through your work life. So it becomes a very simplified way for people to invest. And that's why it's so popular. 75% of the flows in defined contribution workplace savings today go into target date funds.
I had an interesting conversation with someone in their 20s who said, I don't expect Social Security to be around for me when I retire. What do you think of that?
Social Security is an important part of the retirement system. As I mentioned before, it's the—
Yeah, you spend a chapter on it.
Yeah, and it's essential to many, many people, especially people that cannot save, and there are those people out there. So I think Social Security is a challenge right now because it is a math problem. And when Social Security first came out in the 40s, the retirement age was set at 65, but the average life expectancy was 62. And currently it still has a retirement age. It's coming up to 66, 67, but life expectancies are now 82, so it's changed the game. And if there's no change to the Social Security system, by the 2030s, they will have to cut benefits by about 30%. So it's the third rail politics, but it's something that will take political courage to go after. To me, it will be there, but changes have to be made in the system.
If you could tell the folks who are writing whatever tax reform proposal is going to be, you know, formally released to do one thing, what would it be?
The challenge that you have from a budget standpoint should not be put on the back of the savings side. I think what's missed about the savings part, individual savings, that it is a driver of growth for the country because the money's put in savings go into capital markets that help support companies, whether it be stocks, bonds, and really are an engine for growth. And there are, again, numerous articles on this. So retirement should be part of everyone's life, and the more people we can get to participate in it, the better off the country's going to be. And we're looking for ways to make the economy grow. One of them is to encourage personal savings and a retirement system like we have now with some changes is that system that works.
You spend some time in the book talking about the gig economy, which has really exploded since the financial crisis. Can you explain, for kind of layman, how your idea of this portable retirement plan that people could buy into would work for people who participate in the gig economy.
Yes, the gig economy has grown since 2008, and it's for workers that don't work for a company, an Uber driver, someone like that. And what you would have is a multi-employer plan that they could participate in and have appropriate investments at all and contribute to it on a continual basis. And that way they would always have a place to put money in, again, pre-tax, grow tax-free, and take it out at retirement. And that would be the solution for the gig employee, to provide a vehicle for them to save, just like workers do that work, that have a workplace savings available to them.
I mean, you run a very, very large retirement company. Are you guys developing a product like this?
We're working with it. We would need some support in Washington. In other words, it would take some legislation to create a multi-employer plan. There are several proposals in Congress now to create the universal IRA, all these which we think are critical from a coverage standpoint. Obviously, the existing system you can make better by making the automatic features part of the system, but clearly we need some legislative help in creating these vehicles for uncovered workers.
You have seen how fractious Washington is right now. Do you think that's possible politically?
Again, I do think it's very possible politically, because retirement issues cut across party lines. And the numbers are in, as I mentioned earlier, if you have workplace savings in your middle to lower income worker, 70-80% are saving for retirement. And if that exact same demographics, they do not have it, it's less than 5%. So that cuts across party lines, and it's to the country's benefit, because every dollar an individual saves on their own is one less dollar they expect from the government. And again, I think it's America's promise to have a dignified, financed retirement. And Congress should step up in this area.
Bob Reynolds, President and CEO of Great West Financial and Putnam Investments. The book is From Here to Security. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Leslie. Thank you very much for having me on.